How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life. For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Welcome to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we got a fantastic show for you. We're going to first kick off the conversation with educator, speaker, and author, Dr. Steve Perry. Yes, he is the former principal of Capital Prep. We'll talk to the educator about the state of black education, the value of black teachers in the classroom, and a whole lot more. I'm even going to get his thoughts about the Bethune-Cookman protest that happened at their graduation. So we'll get into it really, really well with Dr. Steve Perry. Also, we're going to open up the phone lines, give you a chance to chime in as well at 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888. And, of course, on the other side of the show, we're going to be talking to the newest hip-hop collective group coming out of Baltimore, the Floating Stones. We'll tell you what they're all about as we talk about the state of hip-hop, conscious music, and their thoughts on the legalization of marijuana. That should be very interesting. We're also going to check in with Mieka about this week's producer's pick. So all of that on top is happening tonight on tonight's edition of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community, and of course, the next generation. Young Nation, let's go.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh yeah.
Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Then they listen to what you have to say, 'cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Oh yeah.
The world won't get no better if we just let it be.
Oh no.
The world won't get no change again.
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we're going to kick off the conversation with a brother who I have been listening to, following, and definitely have great respect for, but more importantly, a brother that can give us some insight about what's been happening with the educational system, not just in one or two states, but across the country. As we've been having our struggles here in the city of Baltimore, we've been challenged with a deficit of over $100 million. But this doesn't seem to be an anomaly in education. In districts across the city, across the country, many of them are suffering from misappropriations to budget cuts to just not using the resources effectively to teach and educate Black children. Joining us tonight is educator, speaker, author. He's heard all over the social media and national media, but most importantly, he's often seen as being a quote-unquote people's champion as it comes to education reform. We are so happy and very welcome to have him on our show tonight. We have Dr. Steve Perry of here on Listen Up on WEAA 88.9 FM. Peace and blessings, Doc. How are you, sir?
Peace and blessings, God. How are you?
I'm good. Also joining us is our education contributor here on Listen Up. We have our dear brother and my co-host from the Final Call radio show, Brother Anthony Pena. Peace, Anthony. How are you, sir?
Peace to everybody.
Good. All right, Doc, let's talk about this thing because many people are having these conversations. First and foremost, you're doing an education truth tour that's going to be going around the country. First and foremost, just give us a little bit. We're going to talk about this throughout the talk tonight. But give us a little bit about this education truth tour. What is it, and why did you decide to do it?
Well, Brother Muhammad, I have to be honest with you. I would have never imagined when we decided to start our first school in Hartford, Connecticut, that it would be controversial. I'm almost embarrassed to say how naive I was when I began the journey of creating schools for Black and Latino and poor people. Mm. I would never have imagined that the most controversial thing that we can do is to extend access to education to Black, Latino, and poor people. But most specifically, let's just call it what it is, Black people. In a nation that has promised that if you bring us your poor, huddled masses yearning to breathe free, then we would, as a nation, provide them with access to the American dream. Now, we know about our unfortunate history on this continent, but I didn't think in 2002 when some brothers and I got together and said, we want to start our own schools, that it would be a problem. I figured, you know what, people would say, hey, go ahead, kick rocks. We didn't want you in our schools anyway. What I didn't know, what I did not know, is that the success of schools that educate Black people are a threat to the very fiber of racism and undermine a prison industrial complex that provides income for individuals in the suburbs beginning in pre-K. And I was one of those cats, you know, in college, Black medallion, no gold, right? I was probably taking it too far. You know, when you're light-skinned, you got to really work hard to prove that you ain't Puerto Rican. So I probably went a little harder than I was supposed to. So I figured, you know, why don't I just chill? When I come up out of school, let me just see what I could do. And I didn't realize how much of an insult it is to the consciousness of many of our liberal white brothers and sisters to just dare to take this idea of a school to the people. So much so that they will stop at no cost to make sure your kids go back to the same raggedy schools that we fought to get in initially, and they ran to get out of it. So the education truth tour is what it is. You know, you got certain people who say that they fight for sanctuary cities, and so they want to be able to have, for instance, some of our Muslim brothers and sisters to be able to come over from across the pond But then if you come across the pond, they ain't going to let you go across the street to the suburban high school to send your kid there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to understand, one of my favorite books is Where Do We Go From Here? Community Chaos, written by Dr. King. Why it's so important is because people think of Dr. King as this pacifist, and y'all got it all wrong. There was nothing pacifist about him. He may not have shot anybody, but he was by any means necessary when it came down to shutting down cities. And so in his final chapter, in his final book, what Dr. King talked about was how the American public schools do not know what to teach and how to teach. That's Dr. King, 1968. That's not me. So from then to now, what we've seen is that when brothers like me run successful schools, meaning that we've successfully prepared children to move on to the next level of education and to compete in the global economy as educated people, it requires that those who want us put back in our place will call us every name, say we cheated on anything that makes it look possible for our kids. Because the root notion of that is the only way to be successful at educating black children is to somehow do something nefarious.
Right.
So this is what it sounds like here, Doc, is really that when you're talking about opening your own school, it is an act of war.
You know what? If you would ask me that a couple months ago, I got to be honest with you, Brother Muhammad. If you'd ask me that a couple months ago, despite what I've been through, I might say, come on, bro. I might not sign up. I might not sign up for that.
Right.
I agree. Mm. I had a conversation with our school in Harlem today, and I wish you'd been there. And I said to these almost, was 100% black and Latino school, but mostly black. I said to our sixth and seventh graders, how dare you feed into the stereotypes? Every single system in this country was focused for your demise, and how dare you come in here out of uniform, not doing your homework, being disrespectful to the brothers and sisters who built this school for you in your community? Fall for the okey-doke, have people make you believe that you got to go back to these failed schools because you ain't worth nothing. How dare you? How dare you? I don't care if you're 11. Grow up. You could die from this level of ignorance. So we have to empower our children to understand that we are at war for our very existence. I have not been to a city in which the majority of the community is black where we're doing really well. Not one.
And Doc, and I'm going to bring in my education contributor, Anthony Pena, in a few moments, but I want to kind of get your thoughts on this, because as you've been traveling around the city, and this Education Truth Tour, it sounds like it's going to be a really, really major thing, but as you've been traveling, have you been seeing the same thing? Because, you know, there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. They tend to think like, hey, across the board, it's like this, and then you have those who are either in the field of education or those who are, you know, associated with education, say, you know, no, it's not that there's a deficit in Baltimore, Hartford, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York. It's not that there's a deficit. It's this. It's that. But what have you seen?
No, they're lying, brother. No, that's not true. It's not true. It's hard for me not to get emotional. We're in trouble. We are really in trouble. We're really in trouble, man. We opened a school in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which doesn't mean much to most people, with the exception of the fact that it's in Fairfield County, which, again, probably means less to most people, except for the fact that it's one of the wealthiest counties in the United States of America. Bridgeport's one of poor school systems in America. How about that, right? Right there in Connecticut, in one of the wealthiest school systems. I mean, wealthiest regions in the state. And this right here is a failed school system. When we opened our school, we had grades 6 to 12, took all the kids from all those grades. We have 80% of our kids reading, writing, doing math below grade level, and among the 80%, another 45% were at least 5 grade levels behind. You just do the math on that. That means that those children could not go to church, mosque, or synagogue and read the morning announcement. Just so we're clear.
Wow.
Just so you understand what we're talking about here in 2015. Just so everybody is woke. People talk about how our lives matter. if our lives matter so much, then you put an education in the hearts and minds of children. Because if you want to build a perfect weapon, it's not to put a gun in their hands. It's to take education out of their heads. Mm. We're in trouble, brother. We're in trouble. And we're in trouble because we have people who say that they are our friends, and they are our frenemies. You can look very clearly and see that the teachers' union is doing all it can to make sure that black children in particular stay where they put us.
And this is across the board in every
period,
city.
In this story, anybody who tells you anything different, ask that teachers' union. So, in other words, you for school choice, right? Mm-hmm. Nah. For me and my kids, yeah, for sure. For us, yeah, I'm for that. But
that's right.
For you, nah, you stay your black behind right there. Right in the housing covenant that we built so that black people could only live in certain neighborhoods. Then we send you to the schools that we want you to go to. And then convince you that the reason why the school is underperforming is because you don't get as much money as everybody. But when you look at the real money, you say, wait a minute, hold on a second. It costs the same amount of money to build a building no matter where you build a building in Baltimore. So if you build in the suburbs, you build in the hood, it costs the same amount of money. In fact, it costs you more to build in the hood because in most cases you got to deal with land issues. So you actually spend more money per pupil in some of these failed schools than you do in some of the suburban and rural schools, which are outperforming them. And then you take a look at charter schools and any schools of choice, and you say, wait a minute, how is it possible for us to take kids from the same community, put them in new schools, and have them beat the pants off the kids, their brothers and sisters, back in the school they came from? Hmm. It's because they have a better mousetrap.
Anthony,
when people tell you that it's different, they're not telling you the truth.
Wow. Anthony Pinion.
Absolutely. Dr. Perry, it's been a pleasure to be with you tonight. I'm going to educate in Baltimore City Schools, and I see the same struggle, my brother. First of all, let's be as you know, a black male educator is a rare species in education. And oftentimes, they use us as either disciplinarian or they often
you're
ask.
You're dean of mean.
Right.
You're dean of mean. You're
right.
Goon in the room.
Exactly. And then when you speak up about what it should happen in the school
system, you're aggressive.
You, brother. You read my mind.
On,
you're aggressive.
Come on, man. Country.
And it becomes a struggle. And sometimes you would think that it's the white people, but in reality, it is the black female educators sometimes that put us in this hole where sometimes when we speak with passion, we're often seen as pacifying all the black boys, not understanding the black boys.
Literally.
And, right. And then in Baltimore City schools.
They don't feel safe, right?
Exactly.
Come on, right.
Thank you, Dr. Perry. You read my mind. Interview's over, man. No, I'm kidding.
But I ain't that light, brother.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And the issue is in Baltimore City schools, I'm not sure if you're aware, they've been running a budget deficit for years. But this year, they ran into a $130 million budget deficit. They were threatening to lay off 1,000 people. Now it's down 300 because two independent commissions in Maryland investigated and realized that Baltimore has been underfunded by $290 million through their formula, state formula, where they use based on tax bases and other things to determine how much money goes to the school system. So a lot of times we often hear the blame game go, oh, it's the union contracts, it costs too much, or it's the health plan. It's always something else. And nobody realized. Part of it, Dr. Perry, but we often seem to want to blame those in the trenches versus another way to physically responsible adults who are managing money to find better solutions. And a lot of times, and particularly in Baltimore City, there is an issue where underfunded schools, we already know that. Second.
Let's just say that. Let's say that. Before you go to the next point.
Go ahead, brother.
You say underfunded. I ask you for evidence, and I'll tell you why. If one person drives an Escalade and another drives a Toyota, is the brother who drives a Toyota underfunded?
Well, then we're talking about equality versus equity then.
So let's stay there for a second.
Okay.
If we were talking about quality, then we would have to look at performance.
Right.
And performance is something that very often we don't want to have the honest conversation about. Mm. And if you look,
right,
especially in greater Baltimore, where you have some schools that are school choice,
right,
you see that they are outperforming the traditional schools. And it's those who say, you could say what you want about who the population of kids are. They're from the same communities, in some cases from the same houses. And so when you look in real time, I'll give you specific for instance. So right now in Connecticut, I just use Connecticut for a moment.
Right.
We receive, if one school, and I present this to you, if one school receives $16,000 per pupil just in tuition, not the building, the $50 million building they got, but just tuition, another school got $11,000. per pupil. Would you say one of those schools is underfunded?
Well, it depends on the formula you're using and then how you're going to use the funds in that
school. Same exact town.
Okay. Well, it would depend, Dr. Perry, because if you know, if particularly charter schools particularly, you know what happens is that they got to pay more costs because the city doesn't fund more of the spending. But if you're a traditional public school, then the city will pay, for example, in Baltimore City.
I'm just saying that because it's a pretty straightforward question. Because you're saying that there's a formula that you use that says that y'all are underfunded, so I want to make sure.
This is an independent commission by the current commission, and they're using basically saying that Baltimore City was not, because think about it, a lot of our enrollment has gone down over the past years. People have been moving out of Baltimore City. Because they don't feel like, you said performance, they don't feel safe in the schools. They also don't feel academically, and academically they feel like, those schools are not trash.
The public said that those schools that are supposed to be for the quote-unquote public ain't for them.
Exactly.
So let me just concede that. So the $11,000 you say in $116,000, I think we can, if you're using a straight math formula, they're educating the same children in the same town, one could argue that the $16,000 receives more funding and therefore the $11,000 underfunded. Except for in this case, the underfunded one will be the charter school, our school, which in just 12 months of working with children in the ninth grade, we've had three grade levels worth of growth. Three grade levels worth of growth in 12 months.
That's awesome.
Just English. In our 11th grade, we have four grade levels worth of growth. So if we're going to have a conversation about equity and quality, we have to look at where the performance lies.
Absolutely.
So if we don't want to use data like MAP scores or state tests, whatever your state test is, then do the following. Where do the people want to be?
Right.
If Baltimore City schools are such that people don't want to be there anymore, well, we're still the public, and if we're voting with our feet in a modern democracy, then in this new education economy, then the parents should be allowed to choose what is best for their child. Their child. No 1635 scenario where the method by which school assignment was determined should be applied in 2017. It's just absurd. Why should a randomly assigned zip code determine whether or not you go to a good school?
When
we know that there were housing covenants and other laws that were put in place to make sure that ghettos were created in places specifically like Baltimore, that have been certain areas of the city have been black for five generations, right?
Right, absolutely.
And here's the thing, because we got a few minutes left, and if you're just tuning in to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, we're talking to educator, author, speaker, Dr. Steve Perry, as we talk about some of the challenges facing schools. And Doc, this is such a great conversation. I'm getting feedback already from text messages and whatnot about what you're saying. But if we look at this, you know, where should parents go? What's the course of action that parents can take if we're looking at living in a, we have a system like you described in Baltimore City, like you described in Connecticut and whatnot. Is the simple answer build your own schools, start your own schools, getting out of the traditional public school system, or is there something that parents have the, you know, capability and the power to do if they're finding themselves, quote unquote, stuck in those traditional school systems? What can't they do? What's the other avenue?
I don't think the answer is either or.
Okay.
If you ask me what I did, what I'm doing, and what I'm encouraging like pastors and imams to do, if you want my real answer.
Yes, sir, of course.
Why Malcolm said that if you put your head in the lap of a man with a noose, whose responsibility for your being held? So at least he was credited with saying that. So I'm not going to blame somebody for giving me what I'm accepting. My sons attend one of our schools because I would not open schools that I would not send my children to.
Right.
So I think on the first side, we should be brothers like you gentlemen who appear to me to be bright young brothers, cannot wait for somebody to recognize you and our children for their talent. Y'all got to get out there and like Bethune, like Mary McLeod Bethune, you got to do what she did. That sister took literally a dump, and turned it into one of the finest institutions in the United States of America. A black woman in a time when she could be hung for just having such notions. We ain't talking about somebody go at her on Twitter, some stupid mess like that. We're talking about real life or death. And so I think the first things you got to do where you can start your own schools, which means you have to push the legislature to make sure that there are laws in place that provide you the opportunity to start your own schools. Mm. That means it's got to be charters or vouchers. I'm a big fan of vouchers, if you really want to know. I believe in student financial aid. I believe in vouchers. I believe in Medicaid, Medicare. I believe that if you, as a father, want to send your child to a school, public or private, we wouldn't tell you you can't go to Morgan because it ain't public. Mm. We just say, hey, take your Pell Grant and go. They take it.
Right.
You can get in touch with people in financial aid because, you know, I got some kids that are coming out this year, and I sure would like to be in contact with financial aid. if I could put a plug in.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir. We got you.
Okay. I'm just letting y'all know. He's his Savion's top choice. I'm letting you know I'm sending you my own. I put my money where my mouth is. I send my kids from Bridgeport to Baltimore because I believe in what y'all do down in Morgan.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So I think that there's that. And then I think that we got to run for office. Like, we have people, we have too many people in our community who are clowns, who are supposed to be our representatives.
Can you say that again, Dr. Perry?
Look, they're clowns. They're straight clowns. You get people on the Board of Education, you're like, this dude is bananas. Like, he's straight up out of his mind. And people who know him, like, yo, that's Crackhead Craig. Like, you just call him that because that's how you know him. And then you're like, wait a minute. He's the chairman of the Board of Education.
Right.
So, Doc, we got a couple of moments left. This Education Truth Tour, is it making its way to Baltimore City?
I'm hoping so. I want to. I very badly want to. One of the challenges, I'll be honest with you, one of the weirdest things has been, I shouldn't say weird because that's a better vocabulary than that. One of the most inspiring parts of this is that it just keeps growing. And I got to work, y'all. Like, I really have schools to run. I love it that so many of our community members want to have this conversation because so often Black parents in particular are maligned for not caring about our schools. But we take every single method we can to ensure that our children have access to a quality education, more than we get credit for.
Yeah.
So we will lie about our address and say we live with our cousin and them.
Come on.
You know, we'll hustle our way into a lottery, whatever we can do that. I mean, I'm for all of it. I support anybody. You got to do what you got to do. Rosa Parks said she wasn't sitting at the back. How about that?
Right.
So I'm not going to sit there and let an unjust law undermine a child. We're talking about a child. We ain't even talking about grown people. We're talking about a child. A child's access to a quality education, which is a quality of life, right? It's a way of living. We know that education improves every single quality of life indicator, bar none. There's not everything from weight gain and loss to happiness in your home to length of your life. Not just income, right? We always talk about income when we talk about how much more money you make. Well, don't nobody see $1 million over the course of a life. You spend that as it comes. I'm talking about just being a happier dude, enjoying what you do. That comes from education. So I know that we as a community have to fight more. And what's happened is been more and more folks have been calling to say, hey, you know, can you come and talk to our sisters who've been here fighting on behalf of their children? Or we got this group of brothers who are coming together, or, I mean, whoever it is. And, you know, we got to also tap our good friends at NAACP, at least the national. The locals seem to get it, but the national, they got it wrong, man. I love them. You know what I'm saying? I love
right.
them. Play cousins. But they're wrong.
Got you. Hey, Doc, I know we got a 30 seconds, and I want to make sure that we get this information out there, Anthony.
Yes, Dr. Perry, you got to definitely come back for part two, trauma in our school system and how the system designed to kill our children, too.
What?
Come on, Doc. Hey, Doc, look, man, I'm going to extend the invitation because I know you are a busy man. You got 3 schools. You got 600 books. We know that.
Are you hiring? Hey, Dr. Perry, are you hiring, man?
But no, you're doing a great job. You're going across
the
country.
Yes, sir. I'm coming.
But we definitely want to bring you back on for another conversation because, you know, some of the things that we're seeing, we need to get some insight about in terms of, you know, why Black girls are being suspended 5 times more likely to be suspended than white girls. And,
come on.
You know, the impact
man,
of having Black teachers.
Come on. You know I'm trying to smooth out into the weekend. Come on, man.
Come on, brother. Come on. And look, you got one of your own coming to Baltimore, so.
Hey, look, y'all better take care of my boy. I'm telling you.
We got you. We got you.
Hey, look, man, we're going to talk offline, but definitely, definitely. Hey, Dr. Steve Perry, thank you so much for joining us on Listen Up tonight to talk about the value and the importance of educating black children and the challenges that comes attached with that. We truly appreciate that. All right.
I'll take it easy.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. And Anthony Pena, thank you so much for checking in. That's our education contributor.
Yes, sir.
Up next, we talk to our producer for this week's producer's pick. And then we check in with the latest, the newest, the most boldest hip-hop group to come out of Baltimore, the Floating Stones. So stay tuned. All of that on the second half of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. We'll be right back, Young Nation. Welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. All right, now it's time for us to have our producer's pick, and we check in with our producer, Mika.
Hello.
To tell us about what are some of the latest things that are trending right now on social media. So, Mika, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
There's been so many things going on, good,
right.
Bad, and different.
Right.
So I'm going to try and give you guys a little dose of it all.
Okay.
I feel like it's all important.
Okay.
All right, let's start with the good. So, good. Morgan was named Maryland's premier public urban research university. So that's fantastic. We've got something else to go with our titles as Morganites out there. So shout out to all the Morganites. Faraji, you stay silent. We all know why. If you listen to the show, you know why. So no. Faraji's silent. Oh, Danny came in. She could go with me.
Right. Okay.
So anyway.
So this is a big deal.
Yes.
Because the governor is planning to sign the document to really solidify this on May 25th,
yes.
Governor Larry Hogan.
Yes.
Making Morgan Maryland's premier urban research. That is really great.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic.
This is a big, big deal.
Hopefully it gets us more grants.
Okay.
Or money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And more students.
Of course.
We want to make sure the black students coming in, because we know Dr. Perry's son is coming. So,
yes, yes.
So it's a big deal.
It is a big
deal.
That's
definitely a big deal. All right, so that's what's up right there.
So then, next thing going on, on Black Twitter. Black Twitter was going off on this. Chili and T-Boz, they did an interview, and someone asked them about if they protested and if they were all pro Black Lives Matter. And they had to say that they that all lives mattered. So
really? Well, let's hear what they said.
We're going to play a clip.
The issue that's been highlighted in both the USA and the UK is the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you guys feel strongly about it when it was all kicking off in America? Did you go on any marches? Did you go on any anti-Trump marches? But you having said that you're not into the politics that much, did that affect you?
Well, I personally, I didn't go into any marches or anything like that, but for me, all lives matter. You know what I mean? Because there's a time when, you know, different groups are targeted for, you know, different things. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that just the whole, you know, what happened, even, you know, with the police brutality against these young Black boys and stuff like that, and all of that kind of stuff is wrong, you know? And even if it was, you know, a Caucasian teen kid that this was happening to or whatever, it's just not right, you know? And some people take that authoritative position and go crazy with it, obviously, you know? And I think that before people are higher in these positions, they need to do like some kind of better background check or mental stability kind of, you know, check on them to see if they can really handle being in a position like that. So,
wow, that was T-Boz from TLC, basically emphasizing that all lives matter. We got Hollywood Danny that's joining us as well.
Chili.
Oh, that was Chili.
That was Chili.
Good old Chili.
Yeah, Hollywood Danny, talk to us about that. She said she didn't go to any protests during these explosions of things.
But she has a stance.
But she said all lives matter. And then you said Mika, you said Black Twitter got on her.
Of course. Okay, so hey, y'all, I know it's been a while since I've been on the air, you know. But I was watching this video actually the other night, and I was thinking, like, yeah, I get where you come from. That is your opinion. And that's what you have to say, that all lives do matter. And I'm not going to say they don't. All lives do matter. But I think people don't get to understand, just by saying Black lives matter, we're not saying that all lives don't matter. And I think that's where, like, a lot of people are starting to get the confusion and why it's such an issue when people say all lives matter. But, like, for her, I don't know. I feel like for her to go and say that, it kind of hurts, because you're thinking, like, oh, she was such a role model, this, that, and the third. Yeah. And then you go in there and say, like, no, I didn't go to any protests. I didn't support anything Black, because all lives matter. Like, what was your point?
I mean, I guess the biggest thing is, considering, like, you, and I agree with you, Danny, that it is that she's that she's Chili. But the other thing is like, she seems a little bit out of touch. Oh, Mika, yeah. I don't know. Was that the biggest criticism that Black Twitter gave?
Yeah, pretty much.
That she was just out of touch?
Yeah.
When was the last time she dropped a song?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, she's actually working on stuff now, so I think this is going to kind of get the fans that were like, ooh, they're going to be like,
said all publicity is, you know, any publicity is good publicity.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but it can definitely end your album sales. All right.
Right.
All
right, last thing, because, you know, I didn't really get to all the bad. I mean, that was kind of bad. Chili.
That was kind of bad. I'm so sorry, Chili.
Let's throw out some indifferent. So, Jeff Sessions, I know this is kind of like super newsy, but I think it kind of affects people, at least in Baltimore,
okay.
since we have such a high crime rate. But so Attorney General Jeff Sessions, he just reversed the policy that Obama did that would result in longer sentences for drug offenders. So he's trying to convince prosecutors to not be as lenient as Obama was trying to get them to be, because, hey, you know, one, those things have consequences, like, you know, that really affect a lot of lives that don't affect rich people. And poor people are the ones suffering the most from something like this. So that was a bad issue. Danny, what you think?
My thoughts on that is, like, what are they getting from making the sentences longer? Because it's still going to be, not saying I support this, I'm just saying it's still going to be drugs out there. But I don't know. To me, it's just weird. Like, okay, so drug dealers, they sell what? Weed and stuff. You say that on there?
Yeah,
So they sell that. So they sell that, and then you make the years longer. Okay, so what about people that's actually out here committing crimes that are actually affecting people in a more like.
What about financial crimes?
That's what I'm saying. Like those deserve more years, not because you had a little something in your pocket. Okay, and
that's what it boils down to, and that's what that's what this larger conversation about. Because a lot of the arrests have been just based upon marijuana possession and whatnot, but it seems like he's trying to crack down, like he's trying to set a new precedent for, being harsher and tougher, because that's what President Donald Trump campaigned on. That he was going to be the law and order president and administration. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, in Baltimore City, I don't think that that's going to play out too well if we start to crack down like that, because we saw that with Mayor Martin O'Malley years ago, where there was like 3 strikes, you're out type of policy, or no zero tolerance policy. And a lot of black families were highly impacted by that.
Extreme.
So if we want to go back to that, hopefully Mayor Catherine Pugh will take a lesson from Mayor O'Malley's playbook and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, basically.
That's it. All right. Thank you so much, Mika Hollywood Danny, for this week's producer's pick. Up next, we talk to the newest hip-hop sensation from Baltimore, the Floating Stones, to talk about everything hip-hop. Stay tuned for them. There's a whole lot coming at you in the final moments of Listen Up. Stay tuned.
It's just our thing now. We smoke until we float off. They know their name now. They know their game now. I bet they know their name now. Riding to the wheels off. Me and our lane now. Whole gang got choked off. It's just our thing now. We smoke until we float off. They know their name now. They know their game now. I bet they know their name now.
All right, peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community, and of course, the next generation. Hey, man, look, for the next few weeks, we're going to do something very, very special. I'm going to call this section or this segment of the show The Breakthrough, because we're going to be kicking it off talking to local artists who are making a real impression on the music scene here in Baltimore, and they're doing it in a big, big way. So we're going to kick it off. We talked to a couple of artists before, but I'm going to say the official kickoff starts right now, because we got the very, very hot group, the Floating Stones, in the building right now. Floating Stones.
Stone again.
Hello, Stones.
Folks.
Hello,
Stones. Folks. Stones. Everybody does sound kind of stoned.
Hey, people can hear this, bro.
It's all right. All right, first and foremost, I want each one of you to introduce yourselves. I mean, I know who you are, but for those who are listening, I know you got a lot of fans and folks that are just trying to figure out who you guys are. Who are you? Oh, we got my man Demented here right now,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I go by Demented. I am the father of the brand.
the father of the brand. I love it, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Church.
Because if you treat it like your baby, you know, you want your baby to succeed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my baby.
That's what's up right there. Yes, sir.
And I'm D'Anger, the big fella.
The big fella.
Yes, sir.
Man, you
yes,
be posting sir. Some funny stuff on Instagram.
Hey, man, it's like, you know.
Yeah, that's what's up right there. All right, we got the lady of the group. Yes, ma'am.
I'll go by Maslow.
Maslow.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, why you guys chose that title. And yes, sir.
How y'all doing tonight? My name is Dav, D-A-V. I'm the audio engineer of the crew, the beat maker.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. That's what it
the
is.
Engineer catch everything.
You damn cool, bro.
Hey. We just want to stay cool. We want everybody to be cool.
That's
people dying out here, man. We just want everybody to be cool, man.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about first the name, the Floating Stones. I'm sure people might have some inkling as to what it means. But what does it mean? And Dementia, I'm going to start with you, brother. What does that mean? How did you guys come up with that name?
Well, a floating stone is something that you don't see, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted my brand to be something so rare, it's something that you don't see unless you see me. You know what I'm saying? The first time I ever saw a floating stone was on Facebook, and that was like 3 weeks ago. It's like some rare stone that like it's off on an island somewhere and it literally floats in the water. You don't see that nowhere else. Anywhere else you toss a stone in the water, what it do? It sinks.
Right.
Your logo is actually looks like it's a diamond with wings.
With wings, yes, absolutely.
Yes,
and the FS on the side. The FS is definitely on the side.
That's right.
Okay. Inside the wings.
What was the inspiration for you guys to get individually to get into music? You know what I mean? For Dad, we could start with you, then I go around. What was the catalyst to get you into music?
My music started back a while ago. Started back basically like in the fourth grade. I played the saxophone, the alto sax, and my uncle. My uncle was
that's why he's so smooth.
That's why you know. That's
see what I'm saying. See what I'm saying. It's not for nothing,
right?
It's not for nothing. Nothing we do is for nothing. Yeah, everything is for a reason.
For a reason.
Yes, sir.
My uncle was a reggae musician, so I used to play
locally or.
Locally.
Locally? You probably know Papa Wybe.
His name was Baba Dante.
Oh, okay. Baba Dante. Okay.
Yeah, that's what put me into the music, man. Like, that started the love.
Gotcha.
From there on, man, it was so many other things. Like.
Gotcha. Maslow, talk to us. What got you inspired to go into music?
Well, I always had a love for writing and then music, too. They have deep roots within me. I played the viola like back in the day, like my man here.
Yeah, you love music,
and,
right?
Yep. And then I did like several choruses and things like that. But yeah, music's just always been a huge part of my life, and it helps me get through everything. Yep.
Wow. It starts with the singing in the shower. Did you sing with your church choir and everything?
Oh man, yes, yes.
I just gotta throw that out there. I know sisters could go in.
Because music is a part of us. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, man.
It started for me as well. I played an instrument back all the way from elementary school all the way up through our high school. I was in a marching band. I played the trombone. I was in a wind ensemble.
Hey, what year you was?
First year.
Oh,
that's what it was. That know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she was the really the music though. Like first chair,
it's just the music. It's just the
real music stuff, right?
Yeah.
You guys are really rooted. You sound like you guys are really rooted. Now, Miley Cyrus came out this week, right? Because she had made some controversial comments. Oh. And I don't know if you guys had like talked about it or even heard about it, but essentially she had made some comments stating that now she's at this point where she's going
like
to go back to her country roots,
right? Because all music, all the hip hop sound the same.
So she said that the tone is very materialistic. It's very misogynistic. What's the Floating Stones view of the state of hip hop right now?
I'm gonna speak for me because we all individuals,
right?
So I'm gonna let them speak as well. But I feel as though the mainstream, that's
keyword,
that might be what you find. The mainstream. And the mainstream is the artists that have these big machines behind them. And these machines, they have this thing called money in abundance. So they can put these one artist in your face that's pushing this message. And it's a message of destruction for our community. Right. So I can understand where she's coming from, because she's a little white girl with plenty of privilege. So when you're a white girl with plenty of privilege, you're not going to find the artist that's speaking their heart. You're not going to go and find an underground artist that's recording in his basement, but he got everything to make it sound right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She not going to go find him. You know why? Because she ain't never seen him. He don't got that machine behind him with all that
Juicy
money.
And Wiz.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Them machines, man, the machines. It's a horrible thing because
but you know what,
it got out of control.
I think.
Go ahead, DeAnga. Yes, sir.
People don't take into consideration that when they ask about the state of hip hop, and she's going back to country music and whatever she says she's gonna do, but hip hop moved her to the forefront,
right,
of everything that she wanted to do.
Remember, well, I mean, some people would argue, DeAnga, that it was Hannah Montana.
Nah,
okay.
She died, dog.
So,
I'm
not taking anything away from her Hannah Montana days,
yeah,
but I didn't know who Hannah Montana was.
Right, you see what I'm saying? Listen, and not only did he not know, she couldn't, she used hip-hop to cross over.
Right.
Because Hannah Montana was a little girl.
Right.
Growing up, white people didn't care about what Hannah Montana had to say.
Yeah.
That's why Hannah Montana started acting out.
Right. So
Hannah Montana used hip hop to act out.
Right. So understand
I never
the
was
influence
that Hannah Montana
hip hop has. So you can't say like the state of hip hop is. You can't acknowledge the fact that hip hop is moving the world forward. I'll give you another example. When you look up and you see Lil Yachty has a Target commercial and a Nautica commercial.
Yeah, right. I saw that.
You understand?
Right.
So
that's crazy.
You can't.
That joint was mad colorful.
Right.
Right. That's crazy.
You can't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Right.
But and you know what? This is the thing about it, DeAnga, that people were saying on Twitter that, you know, Miley Cyrus had appropriated black culture for her benefit for 4 years. She
Absolutely.
Was doing it. Right.
Absolutely.
But then you look at Target, you see McDonald's, you see some of these larger corporations, they have all taken advantage of hip hop. And now I can go as far as to say, even some of our own community members, black folk,
yes,
have appropriated hip hop.
Absolutely.
But here's one of the things that she said. She said, mentioned that it was at this point that she would love to continue to celebrate hip hop as she's collaborating with the best, but she feels that the younger generation needs to hear positive, powerful lyrics beyond the misogyny. Now, I'm going to ask Maz this because she's the sister in the room right now. When you're talking about this misogynistic tone and theme, and I think it's very interesting that we are living in a time where there's black girl magic. We're living in a time where everybody is always calling for us to, quote unquote, stay woke. Mm-hmm. And when I was going out to the protest against police brutality and all of that, I didn't see a lot of brothers there. I saw a lot of sisters there. So how
Speak
do you feel?
On.
How do you feel now that now, even though we have this great consciousness and this great emergence of the black woman, that there's still this language thing when it comes to, you know, calling women B's and H words and all of those things? Talk
really
to us about that.
You don't want me to go in.
Come on, go in it just for a minute.
And we need you to go in because
you
got to
know we did. Otherwise, why are you on my show? No, love it.
Yeah. What he just said.
We're moving forward, definitely, like you said, but we definitely can do a lot more within our own culture to change the views of black women, I feel like. I feel like there's still a lot of disrespect within that whole, you know, the calling women bees and all. I'd rather be called a queen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Has that been a part of the conversation as you guys have been having your conversations about songs and whatnot to make sure that there's a certain level of consciousness?
Absolutely.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
We just went over.
Yeah, definitely.
Like
exactly. Yeah.
We just went over something like that. Like we had a song and we had a hook placed and we had an issue with the hook and it was like, well, I think this should be changed because it should be, you know, focused a little bit, you know, better towards women. You know, we should be bringing our women up and so we had to change the hook.
I'm gonna tell y'all, man, because I mean,
thank
personally, I've heard some artists that say things like, you know, we got to meet the people where they are, but I don't feel like, I feel like positivity you can sell and you can definitely be successful.
Yes.
Right. Like one of my favorite artists is Lupe Fiasco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by far, you know, even though he can get real, I mean, he can get his version of Ratchet is still conscious.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying? Like,
he had the one song.
Right. Well, right. The B word.
Yeah, that was a great song.
That was really good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's look at, you know, where we are. You guys got a show coming up. We got a few moments left. You guys got a big show coming up.
Yes, sir.
Dementor, talk to us about the show. It's going down on May 21st, right?
Yes, sir. At the Depot. Yes, Lord.
All right. So what can we expect? Because I'm hearing that the Floating Stones, y'all don't rap. Y'all ain't one of these cats that just sit up on there. It's a whole production.
It's a production, man.
All right, go ahead.
Listen.
We got some tickets for y'all.
Yeah.
So y'all can come on out. So y'all can come on out. We like our show to look professional. So we professionals that we'll be doing.
Yeah.
So
which means we practice.
That's right.
We rehearse.
That's right.
You laughing, but my face is saying it.
The way you said it, though, bro, it was like,
Egg is an enforcer. You know,
there ain't no Allen Iversons here.
Nah,
it's all about
right. Yeah, Shay.
Listen, look.
He came back to the locker room and we would have had conversations. That's listen, how we going to say it for the radio.
If it's something that you take serious, that you put your heart into,
you perfect it.
Then you perfect it. So you're not going. Nah, man, I'm not going to give you half of me. You spending your hard-earned money on tickets to come watch me perform. So please believe when you leave, you're going to be like, I felt like I got my money.
We got 30 seconds. I'm going to give y'all a big challenge. 30 seconds. Demented, talk to us. Tell our listeners why they should start supporting Floating Stones, Baltimore's newest hip-hop collective.
Because we the most positive movement you're going to see coming out this city right now. We want to see everybody doing good. We want to put our youth in the best positions possible so that our community can have some power behind it.
Yep. Period.
That's all we need. That's it. Yep. Empower the kids, man.
Yes.
Empower
the
kids.
The people in a good way.
That's right. That's right.
And raising them sisters, right, Mass?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You got to empower the ladies because the ladies give us the babies. Yep. Ain't that right?
I'm with you. Look, brothers and sisters, I appreciate y'all coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you guys on May 21st again. What's the plot? Give us all the details on the 21st show.
It's going to be at the Depot.
Yeah.
The Depot is located on North Charles Street. The doors open up at 7.
Yep. Right.
All the show begins at 8.
At 8.
Yep.
We'll probably go on probably around like 9.
Okay. Right. Y'all on time when y'all go on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Always.
That's part of being professional.
I ain't going to make it hard for the other artists. Look, we wanted to shout out Josh Skidmore because he caught our pictures for the first show.
Performance that we
My
did.
Man Fever.
Shout out to Fever.
Caught up with the locks. We lose to the locks every time.
Right.
Not for long, locks.
Right
not
on
for
your
long,
head.
Guys.
Here we right come.
Floating Stones, thank y'all so much for Lord. Being thank in studio having. And
it's
being a
gang.
Part of Listen Up tonight. We appreciate you. May
thank
God
you.
Continue to bless y'all,
appreciate
man, and keep doing the great work, bro.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for us, family. Make sure y'all link with us on our Facebook page at Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad. And, of course, hit us up on all social media. I want to thank my very special guest, Dr. Steve Perry, for checking in this on the first half. I want to thank my wonderful producers, Mieka Downing. We have Aaliyah Turnage, Danielle Carter, my super producer, Iyori Alex Blanc. And also, we have our engineer, Andre. That's right, Dre, for making it sound so good. Thank you. Next week, we'll continue the conversation. We'll have Rolling with Ramos with Mikel Ramos. And a whole lot more. Up next is The Duchess with that cool jazz for your Friday night. So stay tuned for that. And as always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I'm your brother, Faraji Muhammad. Check me out this Sunday on the Final Call Radio Show at 8 o'clock. Right back here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Your source for cool jazz and more. And, of course, the voice for the community and the next generation. Peace.
We got choked up. It's just our thing. Now we smoking till we float up. They know that.